The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Is America entering its last days? Next on Life Today, Pastor Shane Warren shares his startling vision of America's future.
I believe with all of my heart that God is just waiting on the church primarily to turn their face toward Him, to pursue and run after Him. And I believe if the church will get it right, then America can get it right, and the rest of the world can get it right, and we can see the greatest move of God on the earth that the world has ever known.
Y'all believe that's what we need?
For joining us today on Life Today. We're blessed to have you. I'm Betty Robinson, and this is James.
And we've got a pastor, Shane Warren, who is in West Monroe, Louisiana, and the Assembly. And it is a great church. He's my friend. I want you to welcome Shane Warren to Life Today. Shane,
thanks so much for letting me come.
Shane has written a book that comes from a couple of visions that I think God really did give him the vision. The last days of America, wondering. You know, when I met Shane and he began to talk to me about what he had seen, I told him, I said, I understand that we have sown seeds sufficient for indescribable consequences. I know that the way it looks, that catastrophic results could be coming. And could. We've seen glimpses of the horror. But I said to Shane, I really have hope. And I can't really be party to encouraging a message that doesn't offer God's glorious invitation. And we began to visit. And Shane, you know, I told you that I had felt like, and here I am a Baptist with the Baptist heritage. We believe everything in the Bible.
Right.
Sometimes we will tend to, some people in certain theological circles will kind of relegate something
sure.
to a certain period of time. But I believe the God that gives vision and visions still does. I believe the God that heals still does. I believe miracles that were in the New Testament still occur. And I believe the Lord is alive and offering us the shelter and shadow that only the Almighty can offer. And I told you that I felt like the Lord showed me that He wanted America to come in the shelter of His wings, like chicks to the hen, which Jesus said over Jerusalem.
Right.
Knowing that there wouldn't be a stone on a stone. And yet in the face of this obvious desolation, which He knew, He still offered this invitation.
That's right.
And I feel like God said, I'm offering that to America. And you indicated you agreed with that.
I believe that the greatest days for America are ahead, not behind. And I believe that, in fact, the reason I wrote the book with a question mark is because I believe it's completely up to us. You know, we have a promise. We have a lot of promises, over 2,000 in the Word of God. But one of those promises is if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, turn toward God. God said, I'll hear from heaven. I'll heal their land. America was founded on biblical principles. Our founding fathers, the majority of them, men and women of faith. In fact, most of our historic documents that we hold to today all came out straight out of biblical passages. The problem is we've slid from that. But if at any point we'll turn toward that, God is eager to meet us. I believe that God is a God of mercy. You know, God was going to destroy Nineveh, but He sent a prophet named Jonah, and Jonah preached, and all of Nineveh was saved. And what I've been praying for is that God would raise up men and women. This is what I love about you and Miss Betty and your program and other Christian television programs. This is what we're endeavoring to do, is to somehow or another interject God back into the place that He was originally intended to be, not only in America, but around the world. His desire is to pour out His love. God is a God of blessing. Good things come down from the Father of lights. He's a good God. But sin has consequences. And if America doesn't turn, we're headed down a slippery slope, and the end of that thing will be destruction if we don't turn. But if we do, God will meet us on the journey back, I can promise. And I'm actually praying, God, give us another great awakening that'll sweep all the way across America. And I believe it has to start with the church. You know, listen, we can talk about God judging America, but judgment has to begin at the house of God. It has to start with the church. And there's a scripture in Romans that says that the whole creation is groaning like a woman who has child labor pains, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. We're not waiting on God. God's waiting on the church. Colossians says the purpose of the church was to rise up and push the forces of darkness back. I believe with all of my heart that God is just waiting on the church primarily to turn their face toward Him, to pursue and run after Him. And I believe if the church will get it right, then America can get it right and the rest of the world can get it right, and we can see the greatest move of God on the earth that the world has ever known.
Y'all believe that's what we need. Amen. You believe that is our hope, a return to God. It begins with the people of God. You've had this so in your heart.
I have. And, you know, as I listen to him, you're talking about God is waiting on us. I believe that so much because we almost use the excuse, well, I'm waiting on God. It's become an excuse for us instead of coming to God and like He's waiting, He is waiting on us to really get our hearts right and to start right here so that His work can be done throughout the world.
I want you to share. You and I sat together in what I thought was a very important moment. Betty and I had been spending a tremendous amount of time in prayer.
Sure.
I had met with many of the church leaders across all denominational lines. God lifted us beautifully above those walls. See, we tend to build walls to separate us, not to protect us. Mm-hmm. And we need to build bridges to be able to communicate. I've said over and over, and I told you the morning we talked, that there's a spirit of divorce prevailing in the land.
Yes.
We see it in marriages. But you've just talked about the church situation as it relates to the nation. Mm-hmm. There's a spirit of divorce that is prevailing in the church.
Right.
Because every time Christians, you see if this is not true, preachers, people, believers, professing people. If they disagree, rather than honing the edge they all become keener with iron sharpening iron, they come at each other like this and they divorce. There's a spirit of divorce that is prevailing too often in the world, in the church. That starts in the church and then it permeates society. Now, when you and I were sitting there and we were talking, we could kind of get a witness as we talked that we had similar concerns. But you told me about a vision, and I felt like I bore witness with what you were telling me. Would you tell us basically what you feel like the Lord showed you in a vision?
I'd be glad to do that. Just to preface it with this, you know, I'm a pastor. I love teaching people, and when you're a pastor, you preach on every topic in the world. And I have endeavored with everything in me to get away from this topic. I'm the last person that wants to talk about this. I fell asleep one night, and this started out with a dream that ran into a vision. I fell asleep. I had this dream that I was standing on a major television station's platform, and I was preaching. I walked in the back of the room and I heard myself say, turn to Judges 19, the most unusual passage in all the Bible, and it's about a priest who has a concubine who's on his way back to his home and ends up staying in Gibeah, and the house is surrounded by wicked men who are demanding for the man of the house to throw the priest out so they can have their way with him. And instead, the priest panics, throws his concubine out, and the Bible says they abuse her all night long. God knows what they've done to her, and she crawls her way back up, bloody and beaten and abused, onto this porch of this house, so to speak, and stretches her hand out on the threshold. And when she does, I hear the word of the Lord come out of my mouth as I'm watching myself preach, say this, that the dead, dying hand of America is stretched out upon the threshold of the church. I woke from that within 24 hours. Little did I know that I would end up on the major television network preaching this message. God said, I'm going to use you. I said, God, who am I? I'm just a little pastor in the state of Louisiana. Nobody knows who I am. Who am I? So this opened a door. This is how it started. A month or so later, I was sitting in my house. I was sitting in front of my television set. My wife and my family had already went to sleep, and I'm watching the weather. And in the middle of watching this weather thing, I have the first open vision of my life. Terrified me. I thought it was happening. So I was terrified. But to make a long story short, what I saw was a weatherman come on the news and he said, "Ladies and gentlemen, there is a major storm going across the center of America." And I watched the television screen flip to a shot, a satellite shot, and I saw what looked like a hurricane tearing through the heartland of America. And it came back to the newscaster and he said, "We have somebody on the ground in the storm." And he said, "We're going to go to them now to find out what's happening." And all of a sudden, I see this newscaster. He's being tossed by the wind, and there's debris swirling around his head. And he said, "This is not a normal storm." He said, "Look at what it's doing." And he reaches down, picks up a wad of dollar bills and said, "It's raining money." Whenever that happened, immediately the scene changed. He said, "Ladies and gentlemen, there has been a catastrophic division of America as an earthquake has tore down a certain part of the country." And he said, "We're going to go and look at that." And I saw rioting in the streets. I saw people rioting. I saw people turning on each other. As I was watching this, I heard a voice behind me in my right ear say these words. He said, "They have divided my land. Now I will divide their land." Immediately, I knew that it was talking about the nation of Israel. I don't know how I knew this. And you got to remember, I'm watching this. I think this has happened. Now, I was a pastor during 9/11. I was a pastor during Katrina. And we're picking up the pieces from it. I think this is happening. So now I'm thinking, oh my, what do I do? What do I do with my family? How do I get on the ball with the church? You know, get my leaders together to try to help people. Then immediately, James, I was snatched out of where I was and I was sitting in a room. It was in the Middle East and different heads of nations in the Middle East and literally all over the eastern part of the world. And I could tell you the names of all of them were there conspiring around a table concerning America. And specifically, they were talking about the American dollar and how the American dollar could collapse if they would all collaborate together and gave the details of how they would do it. I immediately come to myself, and at this point, I think I'm seeing this, and I realize something's happened here. So I get up, I run to the table, I start writing everything down, and the Lord speaks to me, and He said, "I'm going to open another door for you, and you are to go and tell America what you've seen." I said, "God, I don't want to tell America this." And He said, "You go tell America what you've seen, and tell them to repent." And I said, "Lord, how am I going to do this? I don't know anybody." Little did I know, just a short time later, I ended back up on a major television network. They called me and said, "Hey, we heard that God had shown you something about America." I didn't call them and tell them that God had shown me anything about America, but I ended up on a television network and was sharing this all over the nation. Of course, you get various reviews. You get some people hate you, some people love you. You're a false prophet. You're a real prophet. And ever since then, I've been trying to hide. And then the Lord speaks to him and says, "I want you to write this vision in your book. And I want you to talk about the founding of America and how far America has slid from my original intent for them and call the church back to a place of repentance and then call America back to a place of repentance." So from that time until now, everywhere I've traveled, all over America, even around the world, I've had one message, just like John the Baptist. I feel like a voice crying in the wilderness, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And so when I met you, and you know, you're such an authentic man of God, you and Betty have been heroes of mine and my family. We've watched you for years. I mean, my father-in-law thinks it's like God the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and James Robinson. He's seated around, he's one of the 24 elders seated around the throne. So I've admired you. And then when God gave me the ability to talk to you, I hadn't been able to talk to anybody about it, to really share about it, because I was afraid to share about it. But now God has given me a grace and said, "Just preach the message of repentance." And when we go preach this, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people literally run to the altar. A few weeks ago, 236 people running to the altar before I could even say, "Come to Jesus." I mean, I can't even get to the prayer, and they're just running to the altar to repent and give their lives to Jesus Christ. And at the end of the day, that's what it's about. It's about making ourselves ready for the coming of the Lord. And you said something that has impacted my life, and I've ended every message I've ever preached on this topic since that time. Every time I preach, I always say this. I say, a great man told me this, that the Lord will not appear in His glory till He first appears in His glory. And I believe that with all my heart. Jesus is coming for a church without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. And I don't believe the Lord will appear in His glory until He first appears in the glory of the church, in His glory in the church. And here's what I believe. I believe God's about to do that. I believe when the world is at its worst, they deserve to see a church at their best. Mm. And when it's the darkest, the light shines the brightest. And so that's been my message, that this is our finest hour. This is our moment. You know, we have all the prophetic winds of Scripture blowing. You have the wind of politics, the wind of war, the wind of, economics, the wind of religion. And it's blowing all over the world at the same time, forming the perfect storm. But there's one more wind that wants to blow. Mm. And it's called the wind of the Spirit. And it blows where it listeth, and no man can control it. And I believe that in the midst of all of these prophetic winds that God said was going to blow in the last of the last days, that in the midst of this, the greatest wind, the wind of the Holy Spirit of God, is going to blow across America and around the world. And we're going to see the greatest harvest of people coming to Jesus Christ than we've ever seen in all our life. I believe that with all of my heart.
Betty, do you bear witness that this is a vision that God gave Shane to show us the need to come to God now, or these catastrophic things are
absolutely
going to unfold?
Absolutely. I think as Christians, it should be a charge to us to say, okay, God, do what You want to in my life. Get me ready. We've got to be prepared for what God wants to do. And that means that relationship with Him one-on-one so that we can go out as His children. And it's not going to be a religious thing.
That's
it's
right.
going to be God, and it's going to be evident that it's God and His love.
This is the outpouring of the Spirit of God upon those who will receive Him. Father, I pray that those with ears to hear will hear what the Spirit is saying to the church, and that we would win hearts and minds and see people washed in the water of the Word with their minds renewed by the transforming power of Your Word. God, raise us up first on our face in prayer, to then stand on our feet like a mighty army, like a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. In Jesus' name. Would you like to just say thanks to Shane Warren for being faithful to God, to listen, and then to share. Shane, I love you. We give our love to all the believers there, and you had another pastor friend there for so many years at the First Baptist Church, who's one of our great friends.
David,
he is great. Yeah. And the church, the fellowship, the sweetness of spirit that I saw even between the two of you that formed over the years. Hey, this prevailing spirit of divorce and division, these walls we built to divide rather than the hedge of God's truth, we got to change all that.
That's right.
And we come into the presence of God, we're going to know we got a Father and we're a family.
That's right.
Shane, one of the things that Betty and I have found that our viewers enjoy doing as much as anything in life is to extend the hands of Jesus to hurting, suffering people. And one of them is to literally give not just a cup of water in Jesus' name, but wells of water. Now, and I want you to listen as a wonderful, wonderful woman reflects on what she's just seen.
We all face obstacles in life, but often the reward on the other side motivates us enough to overcome them. These girls in need of life-giving water face unbelievable obstacles. They labor for hours each day, for miles walked and climbed to get it. And they do. Their strength and resilience is astounding. But for what? For water that looks like this? That's no reward. It's filled with sickness and death. Something they've encountered all too much of. You see, their source of water is the one thing they can't overcome. But you know who can? We can. With your help. With your help, we can change the life of this girl, and this girl, and this mom, and this village. Please, all it takes is for each of us to do what God is leading us to do.
All it takes is each of us.
You know, James, as Tammy said, they can't do anything about it. They can't change their condition. They can't change that contaminating water. Those mothers would give their own lives to see their children have to avoid all the death that that disease water brings. But we can. We can make the difference if you'll join with us. We can drill these water wells so that they can know the difference in clean water and diseased water. And I know which one they'll choose.
I remember so well when Betty and I were moved deeply on the mission field, so much so that we were ready just to leave everything here and just go and stay there. And they literally, it was a united request. Please don't stay here. Please go back home and ask people all over the world who've been blessed to make it possible for us to stay and do what God's called us to do. Please go and ask. And Betty and I really heard the call of God. The Lord let me know one of the giftings that He had given me was to inspire people. He said, James, this is your part in my heart. Inspire people to fulfill their part in my heart. And our part together is to put His arms around a hurting world, to reach out with hands of love and bless people in the area of their need because of what He has done in our heart. So we're giving water for life, and then we're telling people about the water of life that put this on our heart that can change their life. This year, we have undertaken, this is the largest number of wells we've ever felt like the Lord told us to drill in a single year. Over 500 wells this year. That's going to take every one of you. I wish I could reach out and take you by the hand and just say to you, you are so critically important for you to give a cup of water. Think about this. A gift of $48 will give 10 people water the rest of their life. This is to provide a well for a village that will last a lifetime. 500 areas, 12 countries. Would you help us give 10 people water? $144, 30 people. You can do that. Some of you can drill a well. They're $4,800. Or you can give a portion of a well, $1,200. Ask God to raise up three others to join you. $2,400. Pray somebody matches that. We have many people right now who have asked God, God, let me do this. God's heard their prayer. We have people who say, every year now, I look forward to drilling another well. I'm asking all our viewers to pray, let that happen for you. But right now, the majority of the support comes from people who give $48, $144. Whatever you can do, it's big to the people whose lives it will save. If you will dial the number, take your bank card, use it like a check. If you write a check, make it to Life. But call the number and tell us what you're mailing. You can go online, lifetoday.org, and make your gift. We have some beautiful gifts to send you. The names of God and a Bible study that you will love. Beautiful witness pens. The commemorative bronze, Living Water. We want to say thank you for giving the greatest gift, the gift of life. Thank you for making that call. Thank you for making the gift God put on your heart.
Every day, millions of children are forced to make a dreadful choice. Drink filthy, polluted water filled with deadly disease or die from thirst. No child should ever be faced with this decision. The good news is there is a solution. Mission Water for Life is one of the most exciting and viable demonstrations of God's love in the world today. Suffering can end because clean water changes everything.
With your gift today, we can establish and drill 500 new water wells for remote villages in over 12 different nations. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 people. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10 people. $72 will impact 15 people. And $144 will help provide fresh, clean, disease-free water for 30 people for a lifetime. With your gift, be sure to request Majesty, an inspirational new fully illustrated book that will help you discover the promises behind the many names of God. With your gift of $100 or more, be sure to also request the Names of God pen set, custom crafted with the various names of God and the gifts of the Spirit. Also, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well. And be sure to request the limited edition 50th anniversary bronze sculpture, Living Water. Please call, write, or make your secure gift online today.
Well, you know, here's a water source. And, you know, you need to understand that this is contaminated water. It may look clean to you, it may look clean to the people that live in the villages around here, but it's contaminated from human waste, animal waste. I think it's important you understand that we're going to do our best to drill a well here, but there are, and please grasp this if you possibly can, there are 1 billion people all over the world who don't have clean water. And 10,000 people will die of waterborne illnesses today. But we can stop that. Dial that telephone number and make the very best gift you can. Please do it and do it now. Please make the gift, or you can go on lifetoday.org. I mean, you could give a community, a village, perhaps a well, or you could give toward the drilling of a well. You could give 30 people or 60 people water for life, or simply making a gift today. Please do.
Well, you know, Betty and I want to say thanks with the beautiful gifts. Reminds you of the Living Water Bronze, commemorative bronze, our 50 years in ministry and missions. And Shane, remember, has written the book, The Last Days of America, ? Don't have to be. It could be the greatest days of America. And Shane, I believe that's what it's going to be.
That's right. Well, you know, before we go off the air, our church, the Assembly West Monroe, wants to buy a well, and we want to challenge every viewer to join with you and Betty and give a cup of water, because if we give the water of life, we'll be able to tell them about the water of life. Amen.
Amen.
And so we want to give you a check to purchase a well.
Yes, thank you.
From the bottom of our heart, thank you, Shane. Thank you for sharing. And let's lead the way to the foot of the cross and to repentance, to look up into the eyes of God and say, I yield my life to you, Father. Thank you so much for watching. Thanks for being a part of Sharing Life.
Basically, I wanted to get in the bed, shut the blinds, put the covers over my head, and stay there indefinitely.
Tomorrow on Life Today. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.